Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Town. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Let's do it.
Ramon, four hits in 15 at-bats against Kikuchi. But three of those four hits have been home runs. That ball hit pretty well to left. We mentioned Urias only hits home runs against Kikuchi. He's done it again. Ramon Urias, five career hits against Yusei, and four of them have been home runs. Number two is an Astro, makes it 1-0. Altuve bids for a two-run home run. It's gone! Jose Altuve gives the Astros a five-run lead. It's now 8-3.
Ben, give this man a ding. Give him a ding right now. Seth Payne, he called it. And that was just part of the deluge. That was only three of the eight runs from yesterday.
I called it.
You called it.
Dang it.
You
called my shot.
You called it. As I was sitting here spewing stats of futility offensively for the Astros over the weekend.
Yeah.
11 of their last 18 games. That wasn't even the weekend. That's been the month. 11 of their last 18 games, two or fewer runs. The Angels and the Rockies, two of the worst pitching teams in the sport, and they're putting together 12 runs in six games against two of the worst pitching teams. And Seth Payne had the courage to stand on his podium yesterday, to get up on his soapbox and say, there will be a deluge today, Sean.
Yes, it was.
And a deluge there was.
Part of it was, Sean, frankly, yeah, they were 5-42 on this homestand with runners in scoring position, which is a bad stat.
Yeah.
And yet, they were getting runners in scoring position. So unless you think the team is full of a bunch of yellow-bellied cowards who shrink in the moment, maybe there's a little bit, at some point the floodgates were going to open. Oh. It was nice to see them do it versus that treacherous Kikuchi and him fleeing the opportunity for greatness, chasing cash.
Yep.
Like these modern professional athletes. I have no animosity in my heart for Kikuchi.
And collegiate athletes.
Yeah. No, I have no animosity for Kikuchi. I didn't realize that Correa had entered the game 12-24 in his career against Kikuchi. And I didn't know that Urias.
I had no idea until you just said it.
Yeah. Urias was, as Callis mentioned. What he said, he only hits home runs.
He has four hits. Going into that at-bat, he had four hits against Kikuchi. Three of them were home runs, and then he hits another home run. So he's got four now.
And seven strikeouts. He was all or nothing versus Kikuchi, but he hits a home run and a double yesterday, plus another strikeout. So he kind of kept in line with what he's done with against Kikuchi in the past.
Yeah.
And then that was Jose Altuve's home run was the third or fourth hardest hit he's had in the StatCast era.
Wow. Because he hit a double pretty hard yesterday, too.
Yeah,
he
maybe was on the double was. One of those two was the hardest hit.
Yeah. The double was a rope, man. Like, he smoked that thing down the line. Either way, Altuve, good yesterday. Yeah, and he boinked the home run off the foul pole. So everybody got Chick-fil-A, I guess, right? Is that?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there was that. It was a really
good
day.
And the Angels almost hit that the one just off that one in the. Oh, it was late in the game, right? I went just shy of the Chick-fil-A sign there to left, and it was a foul ball.
Oh, yeah, it hit like the little corner right there near the base of the wall. I don't know if
Chick-fil-A
you get...
Chick-fil-A got a lot of free publicity.
They're
paying for it, but, you know, yesterday they got a lot of publicity.
I don't know. Do opponent home runs? I don't think we get fed with opponent home runs.
No. I was just thinking about notable things that happened at that foul pole.
I'm just thinking about getting fed. I just want Chick-fil-A right now.
That would be the dumbest promotion ever, yeah. I guess it would be like a consolation Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how you feeling today, man? How you doing?
I feel good.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm sorry if you can't tell by the tone of my voice. I was pretty excited about the Astros winning yesterday.
We came in with a little baseball. I'm just checking on you. See how you're doing. You doing good?
Why are you asking how I feel? What's going on? Do I look bad?
No, you look great, actually. A nice white long-sleeve tee really accentuates things. No, you're doing good. Doing good.
I feel like my bubbly demeanor should have told you everything that you need to know.
I'm
my
checking goodness. And seeing how you're doing. And
It kind of caught me yesterday because it's always so weird with Labor Day being the first day of the work week before the NFL begins.
Yeah.
Because it feels, I, I, It feels like there's a false start or something, you know, like in a race, not a Laramie Tunsil type of false start, yeah. Where like everybody's lined up, you're ready to go. Hey, we got football this week. Oh, no. It's Labor Day. Wait until tomorrow. Most people aren't going to be really checking in until Tuesday this week.
Yeah, that's okay.
Go die, people who set the dates of national holidays. This is the first week of the NFL season is the most glorious national holiday of them all.
I go back and forth on the break. It feels like a really long break from the end of the preseason to the start of the season. But yeah. I love the way the college football schedule laid out this weekend. You know, like that was fun. You had Coach Prime on Friday. You had the full day on Saturday. You had Arch Manning in the morning, and you had Clemson and LSU at night. And then you had Notre Dame and Miami on Sunday. And then we had Belichick getting his ass kicked last night. If you're a hater, this was a really fun 4 days because you got Coach Prime losing on Friday. You got Arch Manning getting destroyed on Saturday. Destroyed. I mean, they lost by 7, but he looked horrible. There are a lot of Notre Dame haters out there. That was a good night for you on Sunday. And then last night, I would imagine Belichick has a lot. This was a haters weekend.
There was
something for every hater this weekend, every day.
Upset. And you know what? A lot of the upsets weren't like flukish upsets. The Florida State beating Alabama was an upset, but it's more of a story about, wow, Alabama, how far have you fallen? And with Belichick, I told you yesterday that I'm kind of starting to pull for Belichick. I guess maybe the same way I was starting
night
to pull
for, you.
For Shedeur Sanders. And once the tide of public opinion shifts so drastically, you're like, yeah. all right, enough is enough. Yeah. Okay. I'm already there with Arch Manning. I'm like, all right, enough is enough. Let's sit back and wait a little bit. Okay.
Okay.
But with Bill Belichick, for him to get destroyed as a defensive genius and what have you, would this be the same if Belichick keeps this up? If they just remain horrendous, and credit to TCU, hell of a performance. Would this be without probably any kind of a grinding at a restaurant type of scenario? Would this be kind of the mirror image of Urban Meyer failing in the NFL?
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, it's a little bit different in that, I mean, taking over the job at UNC is obviously going to be a bigger challenge than Patricia going in and being the defensive coordinator at Ohio State.
Yeah.
That's like, but right now, Patricia is a much better college defensive coordinator than Bill Belichick is.
I would say it's okay. It's an interesting analogy. I would say it'd be a perfect analogy if it turns out that the thing that undermined Belichick's ability to do well at North Carolina had something to do with something off the field. Like if it was a Jordan Hudson situation, if that relationship revealed all sorts of dirt and grime and innuendo and whatnot. Because I think what ultimately undid Urban Meyer at the NFL level, yes, was a failure to adapt to the NFL, but he also had all the off of the field stuff that was just, I mean, it was a bleep show. He was done after 13 games.
The off the field stuff was kind of related to the on field stuff, though, in that it sounded like Urban Meyer genuinely didn't understand the commitment that it takes to be an NFL coach in terms of actual time spent thinking about football.
And we don't know anything about Belichick behind the scenes and how much he's investing into North Carolina yet. You know,
yeah, like, what if you found out that Belichick really was like all of a sudden for the first time in his life really enjoying life let's kick off early today. You can leave the office at 2 p.m.
Right.
Jordan and I want to go take a tour of the coast.
All these mic'd up videos they're doing are really just a front because he only puts in like 3 hours a day. He's total absentee coach. So we don't know anything about that. They looked like a team last night that had an absentee head coach. They got killed last night.
He could get through this season. If he goes through this season and just is competitive, I don't think it's a huge flaming disaster because he is at UNC after all.
Yeah.
But if he has more games like this, that's an abject failure.
Yes.
Man.
So that was last night. That was fun. Hey, we skipped right over it with the Astros, and we should mention it. Luis Garcia was a huge story. We got so caught up in the deluge of runs, rightfully so.
Well, then you being concerned about my welfare.
That's how you were doing. Why are you so fixated on this?
Yeah, but Luis Garcia, my favorite, I think maybe one of my favorite moments of this sports year was how happy Luis Garcia looked to be having his hands and glove checked at the end of innings.
Yeah.
For foreign objects and what have you. Remember when they introduced that a couple years ago? Seemed like half the pitchers in the league were acting like they were unfairly accused of a crime or something.
Mm-hmm.
Which made you a little bit suspicious. And Luis Garcia couldn't have been happier to be talking to the ump.
Yes!
And just exchanging pleasantries and all of that. And
little things, man.
Yeah. And after the longest rehab assignment of all of these returning guys, well, I don't count Lance because I don't even know what the – I can't keep
track. Yeah, I don't group him with these guys.
Yeah.
I don't group him.
Of the three main guys,
yeah.
Arrigetti and Javier. You know, you come in braced for the worst because Javier and Arrigetti struggled so badly. And other than the fourth inning where he allowed his only three hits in a span of four batters, and they were really hard hits,
yeah.
And it was kind of scary in the fourth inning, that's it. He lets up three hits, three runs in six innings, gives you a quality start in his return. And even without his velocity being what it was just a great performance, but given the circumstances – very, very promising, raising or lowering the bar because of his injury. That was a great performance.
It's a good enough performance to where you can look at the offense and say, okay, do your job. Like, he kept them in the game. Like, you give up, you come back after 2 years of not pitching, and you give up three runs in six innings, and you're going against the Angels. That's a good enough performance to look at the offense and say, do your job. And the offense did their job yesterday. Spencer Arrigetti, Christian Javier, Luis Garcia combined in this series. They all pitched in this series. Combined 18 and a third innings, four hits, four runs, eight walks, 20 strikeouts. And that was the encouraging thing with Luis Garcia, Seth, compared to the other two guys, and certainly compared to Lance, was no walks. Like, he was no walks, six strikeouts. So the control was there for Luis Garcia yesterday.
And then when it came time to put down Trout at the very end of his outing, and he throws a changeup, which he does not throw all that often at all. I mean, he hasn't thrown any pitches all that often in all the last 2 years. But Trout had tagged him for a home run the last time he tried that, with throwing a changeup to him. So that's exciting. That's now I'm allowing myself to get really excited about this potential pitching staff going into the playoffs.
I am too.
Especially given Jason Alexander and you know, whatever he ends up being in the playoffs.
That's six guys now. If you added to the two aces at the top. And that's, and Dana Brown can breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief for now, because this was the strategy. We're not going to overpay for pitching because we got all these guys coming back. And at least in this series, that strategy looked really, really good. The Angels got four runs on all three of these guys combined, and they were all on home runs. You know, they weren't stringing innings together against them with hit after hit and then a walk and a hit. It was, we made a bad pitch. It's a home run, and you flush it, and you live to fight another day. So, all right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We got a lot to get to. Quick update that we'll get to right out of the chute, injury-wise, for the Texans, that's really good. We can add another name to the people who are with us in the national media. You're with us or you're against us. We have a whiff that we're adding to the list. We have hot depth chart takes. The depth chart is out, and we're going to have hot takes on it. We'll do that coming up next.